Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I want to start with a question, and I think it probably defines modern life for a lot of us. Do you ever feel like you're doing everything right? You know, you're trying to eat well, you're getting your steps in, but your energy is just stuck at 70%. Like you hit that afternoon wall and your focus just feels less like a laser and more like a damp sponge.
It's so frustrating because we think effort should equal results.
Yeah.
And when it comes to health, we tend to look at quantity, how much we eat, or, you know, the number on the scale.
Right.
But the material we've gathered for today, it all points to a totally different metric. It's the sheer quality of the fuel you're putting into your system, that nutritional density that is almost always the missing link.
Absolutely. And for this deep dive, we've done a serious sweep of the research on what people often call superfoods. We're sort of using that as a shortcut for, you know, natural nutrient-dense foods with a really high evidence-based impact. Our mission today is to filter out all that noise and give you the practical shortcut to boost your focus, sharpen your memory, and just improve your immunity.
And to really get why high-quality food is so powerful, we actually have to start with the opposite. We have to look at the drag created by low-quality food. Before we talk about what builds us up, let's look at what's actively weakening our brain.
Okay, let's unpack that, because this is where we get to the sugar and mice story. And it's such a powerful analogy for how our daily diet directly hits our cognitive ability.
It is. The setup was really meticulous research. They took two groups of mice and they tested them to make sure they had identical intelligence levels at the start.
Okay, so a level playing field.
A level playing field. The only variable, the single difference between them, was their access to sugar over 4 weeks. One group got a standard diet, the other got a high sugar intake.
So after a month of this, they put them in a maze. What did that high sugar diet actually do to the mice's brains?
The change was, it was pronounced. And it was focused on the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain that's vital for memory and navigation.
Right.
The no sugar mice. They solved the maze fast, and crucially, they remembered it. They had excellent spatial memory, great focus, but the high sugar mice, they showed significant deficits.
Deficits how?
They got confused, they struggled to navigate, and when they were retested, they'd just forgotten the solution. They literally just learned.
That is a striking comparison. So it's not just that sugar makes you tired, it's actively messing with your brain's ability to learn and focus?
Exactly. It's a cognitive inhibitor. The researchers noted it seemed to suppress the creation of new neurons and interfere with the signaling pathways you need for memory.
So if you're struggling to concentrate or your short-term memory feels off, this research is pointing to a very direct, tangible first step.
It's unequivocal in the sources. Reducing sugar is probably the highest leverage decision you can make for an immediate cognitive boost.
We're not just talking about the spoonful in your coffee.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. The sources emphasize cutting back on all of it. The excessive fast food, the highly processed fried snacks, packaged sweets. It's all about taking your foot off the brake before you even think about hitting the accelerator.
Right. So if that's the brake, what's the accelerator? If we accept that poor fuel damages focus, what does exceptional fuel actually do for us?
Well, this is where the conversation flips to the positive.
Yeah.
To the superfoods, we start to see this broad spectrum of benefits that go way beyond just energy.
Okay, so we've cut the drain. What are we gaining? What does that vitality look like?
It's a whole health package. The promise is a significant boost to your systemic immunity. So, less severe illnesses, it's improved memory, better digestion, and fundamentally robust, sustained energy. Not that spike and crash you get from simple carbs.
And it seems like this isn't just about feeling better day to day. The sources kept emphasizing the role these foods play in long-term resilience, specifically in reducing the risk for things like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure.
That context is vital. And for people already managing those conditions, the sources are really clear. This is a supportive role. This is in addition to medical care, not a replacement. It's about giving your body the best possible environment to support its own healing mechanisms.
All right, let's get into the lineup. To make this really actionable, we've grouped the foods by their primary benefit, starting with the powerhouses for your brain and for anti-inflammation.
Top of the list has to be blueberries. They're famous, but the reason they matter is their high concentration of anthocyanins. These are a type of flavonoid that, and this is the key part, the sources note are small enough to cross the blood-brain barrier.
Crossing the blood-brain barrier. Okay, that sounds important. Why does that matter?
It means they can interact directly with your brain cells, so they don't just reduce general inflammation in your body. They reduce oxidative stress on your neurons,
wow,
which improves communication speed between brain cells. So you see measurable improvements in short-term memory and response time. They're great in yogurt or smoothies.
And if we're talking about reducing inflammation, especially with healthy fats, we have to talk about salmon.
The cornerstone. It's the best source of omega-3s, specifically EPA and DHA. But let's go a little deeper than just, it's good for you.
Yeah.
Omega-3s are literally a structural component of your brain cell membranes. If you think of your neurons as wires, omega-3s are the high-quality insulation. Better insulation means faster, more efficient signals.
So the recommendation is what, a couple of times a week?
2 to 3 times a week. Grilled or baked with vegetables. That's what the sources suggest to maximize that brain and heart benefit.
Okay, next up from the spice rack, turmeric. Everyone knows it's an anti-inflammatory darling, but what's the actual mechanism?
It's all about curcumin. That's the compound that gives turmeric its bright yellow color. And if you think about inflammation as static noise in your brain and joints.
I like that analogy.
Curcumin acts like a powerful cleaner. It calms that neural and joint environment down, which can improve mood and mobility.
Now, I remember reading that turmeric is actually kind of hard for the body to absorb on its own. Is that right?
That is a key insight from the material, yes. Curcumin has poor bioavailability. To really maximize its absorption, the sources strongly recommend pairing it with black pepper, which has piperine, or a healthy fat like coconut oil.
So that's why things like curry or golden milk are so effective.
Exactly. They have that delivery system built right in.
That's fascinating. Okay, that leads us into our second group, the immune system and vitality boosters. Starting with the kitchen champion, garlic.
Garlic is so much more than a flavor enhancer. When you crush or chop it, it releases a compound called allicin.
And that's the magic ingredient.
That is where the magic happens. Allicin has these potent antimicrobial and antiviral properties. It actively boosts immunity.
Okay, here's a practical question. Does it matter if you chop it and throw it in the pan right away versus letting it sit for a minute?
It does. And this is a great little tip from the sources. To let the enzyme that creates allicin fully activate, you should chop your garlic and let it sit for about 10 minutes before you cook it.
10 minutes, okay.
That maximizes the protective compounds before the heat starts to degrade them a bit.
And then, of course, the classic, citrus fruits. We're all told to drink orange juice when we're sick.
Mm-hmm.
What's the vitamin C actually doing beyond just fighting a cold?
So vitamin C is essential for protecting cells from oxidative stress. It helps with collagen synthesis for your skin and blood vessels. But more importantly for vitality, it helps your body manage stress hormones. When you're under stress, you burn through vitamin C really fast, so replenishing it is critical.
Now this next one, this is where the numbers really jumped out at me from the research. Goji berries. You said there was a huge difference here.
This is one of those deep dive nuggets that just changes your perspective. Blueberries are great, but goji berries contain these specific polysaccharides that give them an incredibly high antioxidant score. The sources compare them directly, and they state that dried goji berries can have up to 12 times the antioxidant punch of blueberries, weight for weight.
12 times, that's a massive leap. So should we just drop blueberries entirely and switch to goji berries?
Not at all. It's not about replacement. It's about specialization. Think of it like this. You use blueberries for that direct brain benefit, crossing the blood-brain barrier, and you use goji berries for overall systemic protection and eye health.
So it's about density and diversity.
Exactly. You toss a small amount into a smoothie for a really concentrated power-up. The key is diversity, but knowing where the potency is helps you be more strategic.
Diversity is a great point. Which brings us to our final category, the building blocks. The foundation for health fats, fiber, and protein.
But we have to start with the base of any healthy diet. Dark leafy greens, spinach, kale. These are nutrient behemoths. They give you vitamin K for bone health, folate for cell function.
Beyond the general vitamins, what's their role in, say, long-term health?
Well, because they're so rich in chlorophyll and carotenoids, they offer amazing support for eye health and for the detoxification pathways in the liver. They're the daily multitaskers.
And speaking of foundations, we can't really talk about absorbing all those vitamins without talking about the healthy fat champion, avocado.
Yes. The main role of the healthy fats in avocado, beyond just heart health, is that they're the transport system for fat-soluble vitamins, vitamins A, D, E, and K.
The ones you find in all those leafy greens we just talked about.
Precisely. You could eat a giant kale salad, but without a source of healthy fat like avocado, you might only absorb a fraction of those nutrients.
So they make everything else on the list work better.
They are a critical supporting player, 100%. Okay, moving on, we can't overlook broccoli. It's loaded with protective compounds.
What are those compounds? How do they work?
The magic molecule in broccoli is called sulforaphane, and the sources highlight its ability to basically trigger your body's cellular detoxification pathways. It helps you process and eliminate potentially harmful stuff.
That's incredible. And how should you cook it?
Steaming it lightly is best. It preserves more of the sulforaphane than boiling does.
Got it. Okay. For our protein source, a seed that acts like a grain, quinoa. Why is this considered a foundational superfood?
Because quinoa is a complete protein. That is so unusual for a plant source. It means it has all 9 essential amino acids your body can't make on its own.
Which is huge if you're trying to reduce meat intake.
Massive. Plus, it's super high in fiber, which helps stabilize your blood sugar, so you avoid that crash we talked about earlier. It's an easy swap for rice.
And finally, for quick, accessible energy and power, nuts and almonds.
Right. Almonds are specifically called out for their high vitamin E content, which is a powerful antioxidant that protects your cell membranes, including in your brain.
And what about for immunity?
They're rich in zinc, which is absolutely crucial for your immune cells to function properly. The recommendation is pretty simple, just a small handful a day.
Wow. Okay, so we've gone from the foggy memory of those sugar-fed mice all the way to a toolkit of, what, a dozen high-impact foods? And we've detailed not just what they are, but how they actually work.
Yeah, we've really explored that core dichotomy, the cognitive drain from poor quality high sugar foods versus the huge systemic benefits from these natural high quality ingredients.
So what does this all mean for you listening? We've just thrown a lot of data at you, and we know that information overload can lead to, well, paralysis. Where does someone even begin?
And that's a really important question. The goal here is momentum, not burnout. And the source material has some very practical advice on this. Radical change is often unsustainable.
So don't try to overhaul your whole kitchen at once.
Exactly. The key takeaway is leverage. The best place to start is with a small, intentional change. Pick just one item from this entire list, the one that feels easiest for you to add to your routine this week.
So maybe it's just a handful of almonds every morning.
Or swapping your sugary afternoon snack for some goji berries.
Or just adding turmeric and pepper to dinner a few nights a week.
Yes, one single point of entry is all you need to start building that consistency.
And that really connects back to what you said at the very beginning about quality versus quantity.
It does. And this is the final thought we want to leave you with. We often track our health by logging calories or steps or weight. But what if you fundamentally shifted your focus to judging the quality of the fuel you consume, not just in meals, but in every snack, every drink? How differently would you start to perceive your energy levels, your clarity, and your long-term health?
That shift in perspective is a profound challenge to our daily habits. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this shortcut gives you the sustained focus and energy you've been looking for.